Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. We all know that the definition for success in the corporate world is fairly straightforward. To be considered great, companies first need to turn a profit. For organizations in the social sector, however, the challenge is much bigger. To be truly effective, they must stay relevant and, above all, stay true to their mission. For the past 35 years, Cass Wheeler has ensured that the American Heart Association has fulfilled its calling to save lives and educate the public about heart disease by adopting some of the same strategies used in the for-profit sector. In his new book, You Gotta Have Heart, Achieving Purpose Beyond Profit in the Social Sector, Cass Wheeler shows people at all levels of a nonprofit how to make sure that their hard work really pays off. Cass, welcome to the program.
Thank you, David.
Cass, what are some of the biggest challenges that nonprofits and nonprofit volunteers and staff face right now and in the not-so-distant future?
The biggest challenge is that the nonprofits are all competing for mindshare. People are busier than ever before. They are inundated with a lot of data. So how do we get our messages out in a relevant, impactful way? It's relevance and it's setting very measurable goals so that we can sit down with our donors and our volunteers and our constituents and say, this is the difference that we actually made as a result of this initiative. In the past, we've all relied a little too much on process. The sector has got to begin to shift more and more to producing tangible results. And to do that, they have to adopt a lot of the for-profit strategies around strategic planning, breakthrough goals, accountability, transparency, good use of technology, and getting the best people that they can, both volunteers and staff, at the table to help accomplish this.
Cass, you mentioned technology. Can you talk briefly about that?
It's hard for an organization to maintain its relevance if it does not have a technology strategy. And that is challenging for nonprofits that are constantly struggling to have adequate funding. At the American Heart Association, what we have done is look to form strategic partnerships with groups such as Microsoft and Google in order to provide good technology tools in the form of personal health records, high blood pressure management tools, things of that nature. But when you look at the American Heart Association and its website, there are probably 30,000 other health websites out there. In today's environment, people don't know when they go to a website, whether it's for-profit or nonprofit, they're going to go to a website that meets their needs and they'll return. You'll have that stickiness if their needs are met. If their needs are not met, they're not going to return. So the technology allows the nonprofit to really extend its reach and its effectiveness, but it comes at a price tag that we all don't necessarily have.
Right. Do nonprofits peacefully coexist, or is there some type of competition there?
I think that nonprofits are highly competitive, but also highly cooperative. I would like for the American Heart Association to have the very best results of any of the nonprofit organizations. But I also want the American Cancer Society to do well. I want the Diabetes Association to do well. So we open up and share a lot of information with our nonprofit partners, other organizations that we work with, because we want them to do well.
Can we talk a little bit about perhaps some of the alliances that the American Heart Association has made with corporations in the for-profit sector?
We have formed a partnership with Microsoft when they introduced their personal health vault, their personal health record. We were actually one of their first partners where we embedded in their system our high blood pressure management system. Now, we're currently working on a system around managing elevated cholesterol, which would also be embedded in that system. That was a non-exclusive agreement. We have also formed a relationship with Google around another personal health record. Those are a couple of examples in the technology field. We also have a pharmaceutical roundtable where we have 10 of the major pharmaceutical companies that form a partnership with us. They fund a number of our research and programmatic initiatives. We have very stringent corporate relations protocols and policies, however, so that there is a firewall between the funding of any of the American Heart Association programs and the science and the message that gets communicated. Now, we also do a number of things, like Macy's is one of the corporate sponsors of our Go Red for Women events.
I'm interested also, you mentioned that the American Heart Association, as many larger social sector nonprofits right now, really has to start thinking with a lot of strategies and the best practices of corporations in the for-profit world. Does that also correlate to globalization or global reach? It's called the American Heart Association, but what is the international reach of your organization, or do you work with partner and sister organizations globally?
We have a direct outreach globally, certainly from a scientific standpoint. We run the largest cardiovascular science meeting in the world, an annual conference attended by about 26,000 people. About half of those are from outside the United States. We get about 12,000 requests to speak. Those are peer-reviewed and narrowed down to about 4,000 presentations in 4 days, and about half of those presentations are from individuals outside the U.S.
It seems to me that the success of any organization is in a tight orbit around surrounding yourself with the best people. There are unique challenges that a nonprofit faces. How do you surround yourself with the best people? And if you could talk both about from a voluntary standpoint as well as a staffing standpoint.
I think it all begins with having the very best, most competent, capable staff that you can in place. The more competent and capable the staff is, draws in a higher caliber volunteer. The human resource strategies need to be directly linked to the business strategy or the strategic plan of the organization. What are the key competencies that have to be in place in the organization in order to accomplish the strategic plan? And then are we out recruiting and hiring individuals that have those competencies and bringing them into the organization? Parallel to that process of bringing in new talent that we need, it's important to look at our existing talent. There needs to be a system and a discipline so that we literally have a goal that we're striving to get top performers in all of our positions. You need to make sure that the individuals that are currently on your staff are being held to a high standard, that there are development plans in place for each to help them get to higher levels of performance. And the book goes into a number of tips and suggestions on how to make this a reality.
And just as a final question, generation known as Gen Y or the millennial generation, are you seeing differences in them? There's a great deal of press recently about how many of them, before they do things for profit or go to Wall Street, they're interested in a tour of duty in a social sector type of setting, at least for a little while. Do you have any observations about that?
I do, and that's much to the benefit of the nonprofit sector, because if you can attract these individuals, very highly talented individuals, to your organization and create an environment where they can flourish as well as advance your mission, and if you can hold on to them for, say, 2 or 3 years, you've got a good chance of holding on to them for the long term. At the American Heart Association, we have found that our turnover rates are greatest in the first 3 years. If we can get somebody to pass that 3-year mark, then the chances go up dramatically that they will be with us 5 years, 10 years after that. But you also have to be cognizant of the work environment that they want, and you have to demonstrate some flexibility in the way they're supervised, perhaps providing more flexibility, giving them more latitude with some of the projects and initiatives. No two people can be managed exactly the same, and we're all challenged to manage these different generations in a different manner.
Cass Wheeler is the author of You Gotta Have Heart, a new book that's coming out. He's also CEO of the American Heart Association. Cass, thank you so much for spending time with us.
Thank you. I appreciate being included.
It would be great to hear your feedback on this program, so please drop us an email note at podcast@amanet.org or call us at 800-697-3406. That's 800-697-3406. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.